Well, ladies, welcome back to the table. We are getting ready for our Bible study lesson with teacher Connie Stampfel. Connie, welcome back.
Thanks, Amy.
Glad you are here. We are in lesson number 13, Genesis chapter 5, and we're talking about some more generations of Adam here. Fascinating stuff. What are we going to be learning about today?
Well, we're going to find what Scripture tells us, list the 10 generations from Adam to Noah, and we'll glean some insights from that.
I always love when you teach this, Connie. All right, well, let's start out with reading just the first couple of verses of Genesis chapter 5, and then Connie will teach. It says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he created him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created.
Yes, thanks, Amy. And so here we find, this is another one of those recap, these are the generations of, and so we're going to find that the author, Moses of Genesis, is going to tell us really what happened with this godly line of Adam through Seth. And we're going to have 10 generations listed, and we don't know for sure that every descendant in there is named. It might be a representative sampling of the people, but obviously these are people that God wants to name and tell us who they are. But notice how it says, when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. And we find that Seth and his descendants are actually in the likeness of Adam and in the likeness of God. And so God is working through man to reproduce human men who actually come to know God also. And then verse 2 says, male and female, he created them, and he blessed them, and he named them man when they were created. And this is referring us back to the fact that God, sovereign Lord of the universe, creator of all things, created human beings, male and female, and he also named human beings. Man actually has to do with, again, dust from the earth. And so that's our who we're made from, but God made us. And so that's the point of this. This is the line of the people who are actually going to know God, because then we find it's those genealogies are important in Scripture, because in the New Testament, we have some genealogies of Jesus Christ in Matthew's gospel and in Luke's gospel. And we're going to read just the last few verses of the genealogy that's listed in Luke's gospel, because Luke goes backward from parents of Jesus all the way back up to Adam. We're going to read those last couple of verses. And so it's going to show to us it's important for us to understand that Jesus Christ is a son of Adam, a son of man.
All right. Well, this is Luke chapter 3. You'll find this in 36 through 38. It says, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God.
Now, isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, the son of God, but actually, in a sense, we are also, because that's how we were created. And then through Jesus Christ, we're actually reconciled and can become, again, daughters of God, daughters of the King. And we find that Jesus referred to this verse also, or referred to this concept in Mark 10:6 when he's speaking about divorce. He said, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And so again, Jesus is referring back to the creation, God's ownership of all of us because he's made us. But now we're going to get into the genealogy. And as we go through it, and Amy's going to read it for us, I want us to just notice a couple of things. There's a pattern here. And what happens is we have the name of a man. Then we find out that he, at a certain age, he fathered a certain son. And then we find out that he had other sons and daughters, and that his days on the earth were a certain number of years. And it ends with, and he died.
Yes.
And I think the emphasis, again, is each finite life has a certain amount of time. We found out that the curse of the sin was death. And so even though new life comes and sons and daughters are born, eventually the father dies.
Yes. Well, let's pick it up in verse 3 of chapter 5. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and then he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. Seth lived after he fathered Enosh 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he fathered Kenan. Enosh lived after he fathered Kenan another 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. When Kenan lived 70 years, he fathered Mahalalel. Kenan lived after he fathered Mahalalel 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. When Mahalalel lived 65 years, he fathered Jared. Mahalalel lived after he fathered Jared 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. When Jared lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. Jared lived after he fathered Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died.
Right. So definitely, and he died is emphasized because yes. We keep hearing that again. Notice, though, they lived a long time, 800 to 900 some years. And it just speaks to the fact that in the beginning, things were really good and people were able to live longer. Interestingly enough, after this account, there's going to be a break in the pattern, which is just verses 21 and 24 here of chapter 5, which Amy, I'll have you read. You read so beautifully all those names. Thank you.
Sure. When Enoch lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
All right, so here we have a second person, second man in the Bible named Enoch. This is not Cain's son, Enoch. This is a different son. And something different here. He didn't die. And the reason is because he walked with God.
Yeah.
And as we think about it, Amy, what does it mean to walk with God?
Oh, boy, you are completely submitted to him and obedient to him, and you have that relationship.
Yeah. Exactly. And so this is... There's mystery here. Don't know exactly how this all happened. We do know in Scripture there's one other person that we know of who never died, and that was the prophet Elijah, who was in 2 Kings chapter 2, I think, was taken up by chariots of fire up to heaven. But here, this is the first person and only one we know who just walked away, you know, with God. And we're going to look at scripture in the New Testament, Hebrews 11, 5 to 6, which is talking about that faith of Enoch. So if you'd read that, Amy, it'd help us maybe flesh out a little bit who this man was.
Sure. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him.
All right. And so Enoch is somebody for us to model or to follow or to say, what was it about his life that he had that faith in God and was so close to God? And I think we know that the Hebrew idiom for walk with means that whole pattern of life, all of your life. And so I believe Enoch just became closer and closer and closer to God throughout his life. And God just decided it's time to take him home with me.
Mm, yes.
Which is really beautiful. We also find Enoch is mentioned in Jude, verses 14 and 15. And there it really just talks about Enoch being a prophet and talking about God's judgment. And I'm sure he probably tried to tell the people of his day who God was and get them to turn from their sin and turn to God and trust him. And then finally, there's an idea in Leviticus 26 where the children of Israel were told what it means to walk with God. And so, Amy, if you'd read that, Leviticus 26, verse 3 and then 12.
It says, "If you walk in my statutes and observe my commandments and do them, and I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people."
All right. And I think that's a concept we understand from the New Testament because Jesus told his followers, if you love me, you will obey my commandments.
Yes.
So not that obeying means we love him. It really means we so know God and desire to please him that we desire to do what he says.
Amen.
All right. So now we're going to find at the end of the chapter, we've got a little bit more hope coming to us because God is going to speak of a certain man who is going to do something special in the world.
All right. This is chapter 5, verses 25 through 32, and it says, When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he fathered Lamech. Methuselah lived after he fathered Lamech 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Now when Lamech lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called him Noah, saying, "Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands." Lamech lived after he fathered Noah 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. After Noah was 500 years old, Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
All right, so we're going to find that the account of Noah is going to continue on, because now we find out he's had three sons. They list them all. Notice that this Lamech was not the same one. That was the descendant of Cain. This is a completely different person, has the same name, means powerful. But this man speaks something, and he talks about his son Noah. Mm-hmm. And Noah actually means comfort. And so we get a sense that things aren't going quite so well on the earth, because he calls his name Noah, saying, this is verse 29, "Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands." We get a sense that not all is right in the world. And Lamech is looking forward to this son being someone who's going to bring some relief to us. And then we find out that Noah is going to be this person. And interestingly, when we study the next chapters about Noah, we're going to find that Noah is another person who walked with God.
Yes.
May that be how it is for each and every one of us to walk with God.
Amen.
But I'm going to just read us Hebrews 11:7, which is that chapter about the Hall of Faith and what the writer of Hebrews tells us about Noah. And he says, "By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." And so we know if we're going to walk with God, we need to believe and trust God and walk in faith. And truly, hopefully through this study, all of us will come to know God better and walk with him better and trust him more.
Oh, that is our prayer, Connie. And that's why we do this program and these Bible studies on the radio every day. Thank you for blessing us with this teaching again, Connie. And we're going to take a little break. When we come back, Nancy and I will be back, and we'll talk a little bit more about the lesson you just heard.